and welcome to Intellectually Shallow. Overanalyzing the mundane for not more than 16 episodes.
16.
Welcome to the show, everybody.
Hi!
This is Matt.
And Renee.
And that screaming chick is Renee.
Yeah, it's me. I'm loud tonight. Sorry.
You know, busy week.
Long week.
Renee's stressed.
Renee's tired. How are you, Matt?
I'm tired, too.
Yeah. Long week?
Long week.
No, that's right. Your boss is back in the... Okay, so Matt's boss has been on vacation, and they have been...
For 6 weeks.
Partying. Their butts off.
Well, I don't know about that.
They've been relaxed.
The normal thing.
To say the least.
Well, I wouldn't even... No. It's actually more stressful.
Really?
Because he left some stuff on his plate that, like...
Trickle down.
We don't know what to do with it, so we can't make any decisions.
Oh, that sucks.
So we're like, okay.
So he came home thinking that he really wasn't going to have to do anything, and no.
I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, but, well, that's
you know,
good.
It was just like things here and there, and I was, you know, there's a couple things. And he had a great time, and he deserved a vacation.
Where did he go?
He went on his motorcycle cross country, like the California and back.
No way. That's crazy.
Yep. But it was, you know, I don't really talk. I like my job, and I don't like talk about too much on the show because, you know, some of my coworkers actually listen.
Mm-hmm.
I think he does. He's listened to the old show. I don't know if he listens to the new one.
Well, no, you haven't said anything bad about him.
No.
To me, at least, it's off air.
Mike the Manor used to always listen to our show. He worked in my office.
Okay.
And he used to comment once in a while. I don't know if he still listens. I'll have to ask him.
Sure.
He works at home more now since he lives like way up north, like an hour and a half away.
I'd work from home,
too. He works from home like 3 days a week. So
okay.
Maybe he does listen to the show. Why? Okay. So, well, this week, we in Portland, Maine, the second Sunday of every June.
But isn't it now the second? Didn't
yeah,
it used
just
to
changed,
be the first?
It just changed like last year.
Okay, yeah. Last year was the first year, I think.
And so they have what they call the Old Port Festival. It's kind of like a fair, but with more like live music and, you
food.
Know. Well, it has a typical fair food.
Food. But that's the only reason I go. I don't go for anything else.
You mean you didn't go for the rap stars there at the stage?
Sure, whatever.
You missed the rappers.
Did I?
Yes, you did.
I went for fried mother effing dough why my ass went
down there. I always talk about fried dough, but I never usually actually get it.
I got fried dough and french fries since I was 8 years old. That is my thing.
It's true. I did not get french fries.
Oh, no. That's the same reason I go to the pier. Fried dough and pier fries.
I go. What did I have? I did eat my fair share of fair food.
No, that's
but to get to the fair food, it was quite the ordeal.
Was it?
Yes.
What happened to you?
I started off at Bard Coffee.
Okay.
Which I always start off. That's where I'd
what
start.
What time?
Off. It was probably around maybe 10 o'clock.
10 a.m.? But yep. It doesn't even open till noon, right?
No, they open at 9 on the Sundays.
Really?
Bard Coffee opens in the morning.
No, I meant the fair.
The fair was at 11, I think, starts.
11, okay. Yeah.
But I was there working. Gotcha. I was farting around. My friend Patricia. No, actually, no. I started off.
Use that expression.
No.
Farting around. Ew. Sorry, you were saying your friend Patricia.
Okay. I started off in the morning. I got up around, what was it like? No, I was working in the morning. I worked from home. It was like one of those weekends I was on the computer all week for my job.
Okay.
And so I started off in the morning. I got up, I don't know, 7 o'clock, 6, 7 o'clock. I started on the computer. I worked for a couple hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
Around 9 o'clock, 10, 9:30 or so. I go, okay, I'm going to go get some breakfast because I had no food in the house. So I went to Miss Portland Diner.
I haven't been there yet. I sit down,
have my breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
I order my breakfast. I look at my phone. I'm like, oh, shit. Something broke.
Oh,
no. My job. Luckily, I called my coworker. I said, Pete, can you take care of this one? Are you near our computer? Because if he wasn't near our computer, I could have probably handled it.
Yeah.
But he did take care of it. That was good because... Like I was on the computer all morning, and the time, you know, I could have taken care of it, you know, the 15 minutes I wasn't on the goddamn computer, everything goes south.
Okay.
So from there, I had my breakfast. I had a Greek omelet with a side of bacon, which
bacon. Oh, I love bacon.
And so I went to. I belch a little bit. You speak of bacon.
I love bacon.
And so there. I went to, where'd I go? I went to Bard Coffee.
Okay.
Had some coffee, started working, did a little more work, of course.
Okay.
I was going to start working on the show, but I ended up doing other shit. So my friend Patricia comes by.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably about 1, by the time it was like 12:30, 1 o'clock.
Okay.
I was like, let's go get some fair food. No, let's go to Port City, which is not really in the old port. Port City Music.
Yeah, 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 on Congress.
It's on Congress.
Okay.
Street. Well, my friend Amy's there, and I know her friend Amy, because I actually knew her friend Amy before I knew her. And so we went to visit her, and we saw some... Actually, Pete Kilpatrick was playing. It was a good show. It was good. It was like a free show.
Okay.
At Port City, it was good. Okay. It was definitely. Hung out there. I went to Material Objects.
Nice.
Because they wanted to go shopping. Nice. And then...
You got a kick.
I got a really nice bag.
Yeah, it was
nice, beautiful leather bag, like super thick leather, like
gorgeous.
You know, super what vintage looking.
It's an amazing men's leather briefcase, y'all. It's vintage. It's perfect.
Maybe I'll take a picture of it and post it.
It's pretty perfect.
I always said I want to post some pictures on it.
I told Matt that if I had a bow, that I would totally have bought that for him if I had seen it because it's gorgeous.
So there, I said let's go down to the old port. So we all head down to the old port. My friend, I want to meet my friend. So-and-so. We're going to meet her at the Lobsterman Square.
Mm-hmm.
And so we meet her. She's like a young family. She has a baby. And I'm like, bing, I had an idea. You know, because a few years I've gone to the old port.
Mm-hmm.
And at the old port, right, you know, when it's weather's really nice,
mm-hmm.
it's like it's crazy mad with people in their, with moms even in their strollers.
Yeah.
Oh, it's horrible. It's like, just because you have a stroller, it's like, excuse me here. Excuse me, single person. I'm breeding here. You know,
goodness.
It's that bad. They give you that look. Like
that's hilarious.
Yeah. Excuse me. I'm breeding here. You single person who haven't procreated yet.
Wow.
You think I'm kidding you?
I've never experienced it, so this is all you, Bo.
Okay. Well. So
I love kids too much. I don't notice these things.
I like kids, but I'm not a big fan of parents.
I can agree with that sometimes, but yeah, I've never noticed that. No, go ahead. I think it's because I don't go to the. Do you know in the last probably 10 years I've probably only gone four times.
And I don't go every year, but you know
I don't like it. It's too many people for me.
I sort of like it when the weather's kind of crappy, but not too crappy. Mm-hmm. Like it's great this year. The weather was bad, so there wasn't that many people.
I almost like it better when the weather's crappy than when the weather's good.
When the weather's good, it's mob.
Because I can go and get my shit and go.
And you have unimpeded access to the fair food.
Yeah, but when there's when the sun is out, it's like...
It's mad.
I don't go. I avoid it. Yeah. I'm like, hey, if somebody's down there and you want to meet me, like walk over to Congress, I'll meet you.
And really, if you really need to get your fair food dose, you can get it 4th of July on the Hill. They got them all. They got all the... For the fireworks, they're all on the Hill. They're all the stands.
Ew, I've never... Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
There's fried dough. There's lemonade. There's the whole deal.
I've never had food on the Hill.
On
4th of July.
Where we kind of, a part of Portland where we live.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Every 4th of July, they have fireworks.
Yeah, well, I know that, but I've never seen food.
There's always food carts on Easter Prom on the road.
How did I miss that?
I don't know.
What?
Maybe it was your severe drinking problem.
Maybe that's probably it. No, I don't like 4th of July. Again, too many people in one place, so I never go to the Hill.
Yeah, but they always have, it's actually less... I don't know if it's less travel, but it's just sort of
I live on North Street, so this year I'll be here.
You don't want to tell people what street you live on, sorry.
Oh, sorry. You can take that
just
out.
Just so you know. I'm not taking
it
out, but just tell you. Well, no. They don't know the address. So.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I have no choice this year. I'm mad.
Yes. You might as well head down to the Hill and watch the fireworks.
But now that I know that there's fried dough, I have a reason to go. I'll go get my fried dough and go home. Yeah. I don't watch the fireworks.
Actually, I used to have a scare for the fireworks. My friend Rob lived on one of the streets,
mm-hmm.
like one of the streets that ran down to the Hill, and he lived like about four houses in.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, if you put your lawn chair on the street, you had like perfect access to the fireworks. And there was like nobody around. Like you could sit right on the street. Nobody perfect place.
Yeah, because there's nobody going up there.
No, they're all piled up on the Hill.
Yeah, absolutely.
And actually, last year was really good. I was on my buddy's lobster boat.
Well, I know a friend of mine who has a flat top here, apartment I used to live.
Mm-hmm.
So I went there last year. I don't know if we'll do it this year, but
actually last year I didn't even come to the Hill. I went to the. My buddy's lobster boat. We watched them from the water.
What did?
Which
I
is
do
awesome.
For 4th of July. I mean, yeah, I don't remember.
But back to my story. It's about me.
Oh yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
I own the microphones, by the way, just so you know.
not sure what that means, but go ahead.
But so. her friend and her husband and the baby show
mm-hmm.
up. I'm like, yes. I'm like, we were hanging out. I'm like, put that baby in the stroller because daddy needs his battering ram. I was like, let's load up the battering ram and go down to 4th Street. I was like, yes.
That's hilarious.
I was excited.
The privilege of the baby carriage.
I was excited.
Oh my gosh.
And then she goes, oh, we want to go to Gritty's and eat, sit down and eat. I'm like, you ain't doing that today, this afternoon.
Oh, my gosh.
And so they went, like, instead of just going through the old part, just sort of meandering down and sort of checking stuff out, they went down, like, they went around it and back. I'm like, what the hell?
Because they're nice people.
No, they're just lame.
Oh, they're just lame. How can you be mad at people and then expect to do it?
No. The story is not over yet.
Oh.
Oh, no, not even close. We went to Gritty's. The place was packed.
Of course.
And there was nowhere to sit down with a family in a stroller. Not even close. And they were like, let's go here. They were looking for like a restaurant.
I'm oh,
like,
yeah. Good yeah. luck, y'all.
I was like, good
it's
luck.
It's Old Port Fest. Really?
Really. Exactly. That's what I was thinking.
It's the Old Port
You pushed the stroller around. You bit food at the stands. And you sort of hang out and go up to the...
It is not a family venue right now in any bar in the Old Port.
Yeah. You're better off going up the hill to like the
go to the new stuff. Sebago that's built,
you just go walk around and enjoy the festival, and you go up to like where the kids play at the with the slide and all that crap.
Yeah, by the Federal House.
You do all the fun stuff. I mean, it's why you go to the fair. If you're gonna go to Gritty, you can do that on fucking Tuesday.
Exactly.
And I was like, they were like, well, let's go somewhere else. I was like, you know what?
I'm good.
I told my friend, I said, I'm done. I'm gonna go. Yeah. When I was younger, I would have tried to talk him out of it,
mm-hmm.
or I'd have just been mad.
No,
I just said, I'll tell you what, do what you guys want to do. I'm not playing. Because I could tell the woman, she was in mom mode.
Yeah.
You know what I mean by mom mode? Like
She knew what she wanted.
She had some idea in her head on the way it was going to be, no matter what the rest of the universe was like.
That's woman mode. That's not mom mode, honey. That's woman mode.
But mom is like that on steroids.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah.
I guess I don't see the difference anymore.
You know, because the difference between woman mode and mom mode is, let's put it this way. She has a husband to do her bidding.
Oh, jeez.
Big difference.
I don't know what that means either, but okay.
I don't know this like that, but I just noticed that, you know, they had an idea how things were going to be. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to wander around town looking for a place to sit. It was like 4 o'clock and the thing's over like at five. Why don't you just walk around the festival for a little while and then go do something?
See, I just think that's people being selfish. I don't know. I think it's people being like
they had some vision of how they think
of what they wanted,
And didn't matter. It's like,
oh yeah, nobody else. But I think
it was like wanting snow cones on Christmas Day.
Yeah,
you ain't getting them.
But that's everybody now. I'm finding that from everybody: mom, dad, wife, brother, sister, cousin. It doesn't matter. People are selfish when they have a vision of what they want and they want something. They want it. And it doesn't matter who's in their way, and as long they don't care about anybody else. It's like, no, this is the day that I planned, and so this is how it's going to fucking go. And I'm like, but the world doesn't revolve around you and your kid and your husband. So no.
Exactly.
No. But I think that's people. I think that's what I'm seeing, at least for me, a trend. It's everybody.
But I know that, you know, like...
I guess I've never seen the mommy mode that you're talking about. I'd like to see that.
You will notice it. I point it out to you. See, you don't have enough,
I don't have enough of a distance with children and those types of things. I don't see those things.
You don't have enough... friends that are like married couples.
Most of
like
my
in their
friends.
30s.
Not 30s, but
like,
a few.
You know, they don't have, you know, these people were probably, I think his, or they were pretty young. Her husband was like 30. I don't know how old she was. But, you know, sort of like, you know, I just notice it with my family too.
Yeah.
I notice my cousin. There are people are my age too. It's like, I had a kid. You must bow to my will, you know, kind of business.
That's terrible.
I notice it big time.
Okay.
But, I was like, if they'd have just chilled a while and just said, okay, let's just walk around, have time. I walked up by the Regency and they had outdoor seating, like right in, we could have sat out like under some like picnic tables with over umbrellas, like the like.
Yeah, but that wasn't good enough for their kid.
No, it'd have been fine.
But it wouldn't have been, because that's the thing about new age parents. New age parents are so stuck up and think that their kid needs to have every freaking luxury in the world and not paying attention that it's going to survive just fucking fine under umbrellas. The kid would have been fine. But it's, again, the parents.
No,
and
that wasn't about the kid at all. They had this vision of what they thought their kid wanted, but not even the case.
How old was the kid?
Like, listen to. baby.
Oh my gosh.
Like the baby had a seat.
And it's about the parents, not the kids.
It's definitely about the parents.
Oh yeah.
It was definitely like, you know, they're used to get what they wanted. They had this vision of how things were going to be, and that's the way it was. So I was like, and truthfully, I went and said, screw this.
No, I would have done what you did. Walk the fuck away. I got shit to do. I got food to eat.
Patricia, spend time with your friends. You know, I gotta go get some lamb sausage, damn it.
I had no lamb yesterday.
They got that lamb. That's part of the thing when I go to the old professor. Well, let's get the freaking lamb
yesterday
sausage.
Was the only day that I did. Well, I normally do some kind of an Indian, and but I didn't do any this year because there's no shalimar, and I'm sorry, anybody else who does is the Indian, with the exception of Jewel of India, which is in South Portland. They're really good. Everyone else?
I work with a lot of Indians in my business.
Unless it's home-cooked meal. I haven't had it.
No. I've had – the Indians told me the best restaurant to go for in town, Tandoor.
Tandoor is very good. I love Tandoor. It's between Tandoor and Jewel, but that's about it. Yeah. I won't even say it. There are other places. I'm like, really, really? The best place when I grew up, when I first got to Portland, there was a place called Shalimar of India. Yep. It was on State and Congress. They were amazing.
That's where like the...
Now it's the
King of the Roll.
Yeah, now it's King of the Roll.
Which is like reasonably priced sushi.
Yeah, and they were really good, but they were home. And they used to sell... And that was the great thing. They used to sell spices that they brought from home that my mother used to cook with because my grandfather's Indian. You know, so we could buy stuff from them.
I don't know if you know this helpful hint. You might know this already. If you're looking for Indian spices that are relatively inexpensive, go to the ship chandlery on the wharf.
The ship chandlery.
I think that's what it's called. It's over. It's where the boats get their ice and stuff.
Okay.
They sell Indian spices.
Oh, fabulous.
Because they sell them in bulk. Because
ship chandlery.
I think that's what it's called. I have to remember Vessel Services.
Okay.
Vessel Services it's on the wharf.
Nice.
Because like a lot of the crews, like the cruise ships and stuff, they're all in. A lot of them are Indian.
Yeah.
And they have like the Indian stuff in bulk.
Fabulous. That's good to know.
Yeah, so you can buy like, you know.
Well, for years I've just been making my own blends. My mother had to do that. My birth mother had to do that when she first came, was start making her own blends. So that's kind of what I picked up a little from her, but it would be great to get some new stuff.
So it's like, because there's a lot of the crews out there and they're just like, you know, they were looking for the stuff and so they provide it.
Fabulous.
And so I just went and I was like, I walked around and I said, you know what? The Regency probably wasn't that crowded. There's a bar, the library downstairs.
Yeah, the Armory.
I love that. The Armory. I love the Armory.
Oh, no. The Armory was packed.
Was it?
Oh, yeah, with my age group. No, I didn't even bother. They opened the door, and I was like, holy crap. My age group, yeah, took over the Armory. We got down there like 2:15.
Yeah.
And the second time we walked by the Armory, which was probably around like...
I was there later. Didn't seem that busy.
3:15, 3:30. Around that time when we walked by,
this is like 4:30. I was around 4:30.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't that busy.
Okay.
And there was this outside seating. By the time 4:30
across from the hotel or down by the Armory?
Across from the hotel.
Okay, yeah.
There was like chairs. You sat down, you got served. Yeah.
Oh, they had the outdoor. Oh, good. Yeah. They opened it already.
So,
have you been there for food?
Oh, I've eaten food all the time at the Armory.
No. I mean the Regency. They're outside.
No, I'm not. That's the same menu at the bar, I think.
Mm-mm.
No?
No, it's different.
Yeah, it is. I looked at the menu. It's the same.
No, there's differences. The summer menu's different.
But it's the bar menu.
Not all. They have some stuff from the bar menu, but they have differences. It's a different menu. There's some of the same things, but it's a different
menu. But the bar menu, I like the bar menu.
I love the bar menu. I love their mussels. When we go down, we get a whole thing of their mussels.
You know, I just get the cheeseburger.
I've never had
cheeseburger. The
cheeseburger
and the steak fries, they're like, the thing is, I like regular food that's like, awesome. Like, you know, I like fancy food that's good and I'll eat it and I like it. But like plain things that are like you know, regular stuff that you think is just
regular and then you have it and
it's ruined by drunken fry cooks across the country.
That's hilarious.
You go to a place like I had the steak fries at the Regency. I've had a couple times when it wasn't that good, but most of the time they're just like perfect.
I don't know what steak fries are.
They're like the big, thick French fries.
Oh, okay.
They're like thick.
Yeah. Oh, those are just called steak fries?
Yeah, those are called steak fries. Learn something new every day, Renee. Learn something new every day.
That's what they're called.
You're getting edumacated.
I am getting edumacated.
And they have like the perfect steak fries. Like they're right amount of snap of the knife. It's just like, you know, I don't know. It's hard to describe.
You're funny.
And I'm more impressed with like normal food being like awesome.
Gotcha.
Like perfect.
Yep, something that everybody can do, but somebody that finds a way to make it new and different, exciting.
Or not even
happy.
Nothing new. It has to just be like
exciting. Something that's good.
Like,
Awesome.
Like, perfect. Like, yeah. I don't know, more sublime than actually trendy or perfect.
No, like, I got you. I love food, but I love when people can take something that I've had a million times and make me want it again.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. That's why I love people who are good chefs, because it's not about the intricate, stupid shit you can do or the nice colors you can play or how good your plating is. Take something that I can make, something that I'm good at, and make me want it every freaking day.
I'm going to pay extra $10.
Absolutely. It. Make me pay $60 for something I know I can make, because yours is that much better.
Yes.
Amen.
I'm all about that. I'm like, you know, that just makes, that's what stands out, like, really register. I mean, I like good food and I eat it.
Yeah.
But that's, that always registers in my radar.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, one time there's a place in town called Gatad.
Great restaurant. I've never been.
It's been a couple places around town.
Yeah.
And I went there one time for work. We had like a work function and I had the onion rings.
Mm.
And they were like the best onion rings I ever ate in my life. And think of your average onion ring. It's ruined by your drunken fry crook across the world.
But how often do you have one and you're like, where did I did have good onion rings. I can't remember where.
I mean, these babies were perfect. Like, you bit into them and they just all sort of like, you bit into them and it was all like breading an onion.
Yeah.
It did not, like, you know, you get onion rings where you bite into them and the onion just slides out of the breading. That's the drunken fry cook treatment.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But these were like just, they just snapped perfectly. They were seasoned awesome. It was just like, and they weren't like, you know, Thai spiced or anything like that. No. They were just straight up onion rings.
See, and that's great. Like places like Nosh where,
where the man versus food guy went.
Did he go?
He went to Nosh.
I didn't know. What did he eat at Nosh?
He had like this crazy burger with like pork back and
The pork
burger and some kind of cheese. It was like, like eight layers.
Oh, wow.
I can't remember what it was.
My favorite sandwich that they make is called, apple pie? What is it? Pork belly apple pie?
Mm.
Oh, it's so good.
You're making me hungry.
I'm sorry. It's just.
But, you know, it was like this, you know, I don't know if you ever watched Man vs. Food.
I've watched it.
And it was like this ridiculously large burger.
I can't imagine. Do they have it on their, they don't have it on your menu. It's probably a combination of what they do in small increments, but yeah.
I don't know if they have, I can remember. I may have to go back and find that.
You might have to find that and send it to me so I can watch it.
And, but you know, he always has like the crazy big thing. That's what he did at Nosh.
Okay.
And then he always used like the, I can eat this X meal in so many minutes and you get, you know.
Oh.
And he did some, it was some fried seafood stand down like in Arundel or something.
Oh, okay.
You know, so it was like, if you eat this whole platter in 10 minutes, you get like $20.
Yes.
That's Man versus Food.
Yes, I've heard of the context of it again.
I watched it like last summer last spring when I had knee surgery. I was home for like 2 weeks. All I did was sit around and watch food porn.
Oh, I love Food Network.
Between like, that was actually the Travel
Channel. Oh, no, I love the Food Network. I could watch it most of the day.
You know, I watch between the Food Network and the Travel Channel. I spent most of my days watching food. I call that food porn. Everything looks really, like Man vs. Food is truly food porn. Because you watch it, it looks really good. It looks like something you could conceivably do, but you really don't want to do it.
Oh my gosh.
The reality is just not that good.
That's hilarious.
You know, you don't eat the burger with like brie and pork belly.
What was the, there's that ultimate like duck and a chicken and a goose and a hen.
Turducken.
A bird is a.
That's a turducken, actually.
Ugh. But
a turkey, duck, and goose.
But there's more. There's a site that I found a year ago on Facebook.
Yep.
There was like a link. It was like whyamericansarefatasses.com or something like that. Something ridiculous. But it was a place that showed like these
crazy
abnormal, and it was like 16 birds, like one after another, until it was this like massive fried carcass of 16 different. It was just, but yeah, gross.
I think one time I remember we actually, something that's me and Kate, we used to talk about gross food.
Oh no.
She'd like find stuff on internet and we'd be like, a pizza taco. I'm like, Kate, that looks like a vagina.
Oh my gosh. Pizza tacos are actually really good. I've made them.
Oh. It was like big and sloppy, you know. It was just like gross, it was like extreme.
Ew.
And there was like the pizza cone. I can't remember what else there was.
Pizza cone.
Yeah, it was like a cone, like a pizza, like in a fish, shaped like a fish and chip cone. That didn't make any sense to me. But there's like, it was just, you know, crazyfood.com. I don't remember what the hell it was. It was just, yeah.
Ew.
It was just all, we used to always make fun of that stuff.
I don't want to know.
And that because, you know, by then Kate was starting to get into fitness, so he started making fun of crazy food.
Okay. Ew.
But the thing is, if somebody would have just relaxed and just, you know, it's sort of like you could tell that these people had something in their idea, but if they just gave that idea up and just enjoyed where you were at, they'd have probably got what they wanted.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's sort of like you kind of have to give up to win.
Absolutely.
I try to explain to people, you just sort of, okay, we're here, it's the Old Port Festival, happens once a year. You need to give up your, just enjoy for what it is and be open to the world.
It's the kind of thing where you come and you don't know what really, I mean, you kind of get, you know every year what's going to be there, but you know, you don't know who you're going to see, you don't know who you're going to run into. It's one of those situations where it's kind of like an open-ended, you go there to kind of be spontaneous, to then get there and have such a set plan.
I was like, what were you thinking? It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon at Old Port Festival and it's kind of rainy.
Yeah.
When the weather's not that great at Old Port Festival, all the bars are packed.
Absolutely. People are inside. People want to get away from the rain.
People go in and go in and out of the fair and go in and get some beers.
Mm-hmm. Yep. By now everybody's drinking and getting ready for night.
Yes. So I was like, you don't want to go to bar. When the weather's sunny, it's a crapshoot.
If the weather's sunny,
if you go inside the Grady's, you probably could sit down because everybody's outside.
Outside, absolutely.
But if the weather's crappy, forget it. It's a crapshoot.
Or there be, or even like if the weather's decent, you know that where there's more sun, there's going to be more people. If it's shadier, you know, the people are going to be inside. But you can find a, no, not for a rainy day.
I was like, you know, you just have to give up. You just have to, okay, we're at the Old Fort. Push your kid around. It really wasn't that crowded. It was a little crowded.
But not.
But it was like, but you kind of have to, like these things, you just kind of have to go with the flow. If you try to fight it and get somewhere, you're just going to make yourself mad.
Absolutely.
And I could see the argument happening, what to do. Let's put it this way. I'm not going to waste the last hour of the Old Port Festival arguing on where to go. You know what I mean? It's like, you can sit there and just argue. We'll go here. No, let's go there. Let's go here. I'm like, no. Yeah. I am not doing this.
No, I'll let no.
It will just make me madder and madder, and I'll be crankier and crankier. And I'm like, you know what? You guys have fun. I'm going to go get me some freaking lamb sausage. I'm getting me the lemonade, and I'm getting me, what else did I get? Oh, I got some cheese sticks. They had really good cheese sticks at this one stand, too. And they had fish and chips, too.
Oh, nice. Did you see the vegetable chips and the fried vegetable stand that they had? Where old Sebago used to be. Sebago Brewing Company.
I probably walked on by Market.
It was kind of genius because it's the first time it was there. It's a new tent. But it is. It's all natural fried vegetables. And I was like, wow, whoever decided to do that was genius.
And let's put it this way. You walked right by the place, went straight for the fried
dough. Oh, honey. Absolutely. I didn't go there to be healthy. My friend Kay was like, she was like, hey, I feel bad. I was like, no, honey, I came here for the French fries and fried dough. I don't feel bad. I don't eat like this every day. I do not feel bad.
You know, if they had a fried Oreo stand now, there you'd be paying for.
Gross. Oh, my gosh.
So I love
gross.
Oreo so cookies. Good. I like Oreos.
So good. I love Oreos. Oreos so are so bad.
Oreo cookies are the best cookie you could buy in a package.
Yeah, I love Oreos. And I love the new fresh sealed ones. They last me forever.
And the thing about Oreo cookies that I like, it's one of the cookies that you can't make better at home. You really can't.
Absolutely.
You can try.
I've made dipped Oreos. Those are pretty good.
But you have to have Oreo cookies to start off.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Exactly. It's got to be an Oreo.
You can't, like, make your own Oreos.
Oh, no. It's got to be an Oreo. Yeah, I've made chocolate dipped Oreos.
Like I said, that's the best cookie you can buy in a package.
Absolutely.
I don't eat them very often. But I can
eat them all the damn time.
Well,
I buy them every time I go shopping. Wow, Jesus. I love Oreos.
But we did one time on the show.
But I also run 3 miles a day, so.
On the show, we did a hippie Oreo off. Like we went and
a hippie Oreo.
I went to Whole Foods and bought like 4 different kinds of like Oreo types, like the
the fake Oreos,
the fake like the more the organic.
Gotcha.
Hippios.
Hippios. Oh,
you know all the stuff you buy at Whole Foods. And actually, we did the taste off, and the ones that actually tasted like there's like Lake July, there's Newman's Own, there were a couple other brands.
Okay.
The best ones I found was actually the Whole Food brand.
No way.
Oreo. They were the ones the most like the Oreo experience, the closest.
That's great. Do you know the Caramel Delights that you can get from Girl Scouts?
Yes.
Pepperidge Farm has an almost exact duplicate.
The Samoas?
Oh, so good. Well, they used to be Samoas. Now they're called Caramel Delights.
Not to be racially insensitive.
Yeah, I know. It was terrible. Yes. But yes, the Caramel Delights. Pepperidge Farm makes an almost duplicate copy. It's brilliant.
No one's done the Thin Mints, though. The second best cookie made in a box.
There is one. Somebody makes a pretty good one. They're my mother's favorite cookie. I'm going to have to find out who makes them because my mother doesn't like chocolate.
No.
But she will deal with chocolate if...
If they're Thin Mints?
If there's peppermint involved.
Okay. Got it.
So I get her the Thin Mints and she can deal with it. Or the, what's the...
Is your mom named Hersha?
No, her name's not Hersha.
Remember we talked about that article about the woman who beat up her roommate over the Thin Mints?
Freaking ridiculous. But yeah, she'll do peppermint or if there's chocolate involved, she'll do pepper. She'll do chocolate if there's peppermint involved. That's her favorite thing in the whole world. So my mother, what are the ones with the coconut? What's the one with the coconut in the center and the chocolate on top?
I have no idea.
The candy it's like a coconut wafer, but there's chocolate on the outside.
Is there an almond sometimes?
Yeah,
too?
Yeah.
That's called a Mounds bar.
That's it, like the Mounds or the Almond Joys or yeah. Doesn't like chocolate, but she likes coconut. She will eat around. She'll take the chocolate. She'll bite.
I find coconut like
all the chocolate off to get to.
I find coconut kind of like when I was a kid.
Love coconut.
Like fresh, you know, almond. I can eat fresh coconut, but like. Yeah. Coconut, you find on like cakes and shit. Mm. I always hated it.
Oh, I love. Well, fresh coconut is great. Anything is close to fresh, but I love coconut.
Like coconut baked and like baked goods and stuff.
Real coconut baked? Oh, I love it.
Or just like whatever the coke, like those stupid. Mm. I hated those stupid ass snowballs. They're the worst.
Oh my gosh, I love coconut.
I never liked coconut that much. No, I eat it now as an adult, but when I was a kid, I hated it.
I love it.
Got in the way of the chocolate.
Did it? Oh, no.
Oh, I never liked that.
I find a way to put coconut in if I can because so many people don't like it. Oh, I love coconut. Love it.
You know.
Shaved coconut is my favorite. I buy it in like the bags at Hannaford and I just and it's sweet, so it's only a little bit. It's not like constant, but just a slight
It's not usually the flavor. It's like the consistency. I think it's like you gotta like gnaw on it. Like if you had a cake.
You do. Especially fresh. Especially fresh raw coconut. You have to work at it. Absolutely. But that's kind of what I like about it.
It's like grape nuts. I hated grape nuts as a kid, too. You ever eat those?
Grape nuts. I'm trying to think
of
what
they are. Or like cereal that's little pebbles.
As a kid,
hated them.
As a kid, I didn't like them. Now as an adult, they're fine.
Well, actually, I had grape nut gelato.
Ew.
And actually, it's pretty good.
No.
Oh, it's actually really good.
Really?
Seriously. I don't even like grape nuts that much. But that was actually, had enough of a nutty flavor.
Yeah.
It worked out really, it was surprisingly good.
Huh.
It was definitely counterintuitive.
You know, I haven't had grape nuts in a while. I think I have to buy that the next time I go grocery shopping. Thank you for reminding me.
I don't generally eat cereal, but
love cereal. Ugh.
I can eat cereal all the time, but
I love milk.
Don't.
That's why I love cereal, because I love milk. Oh, lots and lots of milk. Okay. I used to go through a gallon and a half of milk a week when I was a teenager by myself.
Okay.
It was awesome.
You know, I used to drink a lot of milk, but I'm like, I sort of got out of the habit.
No, I love milk still. I drink a lot of tea still, too.
I like cheese.
Oh, I love cheese, but I had to give it up. Ugh. It's gone. It's been 4 months? 4 months now?
Really? That short?
Well, I'm allergic to it, so I do lactate for, like, regular milk because I finally, like, let go of real milk. And I have, like, cheese for, like, sandwiches and stuff like that, but I don't really. But then when I decided that I really need to start paying attention to my body, I'm allergic to it, so I stopped. And it's been once, and, like, I had a burger yesterday. No, today, sorry. Tom gave me a burger today with cheese on it, but that's about it. I love cheese.
Okay. Well, speaking of being lactose intolerant. Yeah. Here's a Penn State professor essay.
Oh, jeez.
Serious academic study here.
Ew.
Penn State professor's essay on farting takes the prize. Recent Penn State Harrisburg doctoral graduate Trevor Blank won the W.W. Newell Prize, which sounds all very highbrow until you keep reading. He won it for his essay, Cheeky Behavior, the Meaning and Function of Fart Lore in Childhood Adolescence. Blank is a folklorist, forging a career talking about the subjects other people avoid, farting, disaster jokes, think Space Shuttle Challenger and Hurricane Katrina, and jokes about death. Whether the issue is flatulence, Michael Jackson's or Arnold Schwarzenegger's sexual preference, or Osama bin Laden's death, we use games, nicknames, and jokes to help ourselves feel less anxiety. Blank, a 27-year-old who lives in State College, teaches at Penn State Harrisburg, either commuting or via online courses. He's married to a flutist who is working on her master's degree. When it comes to, is it flutist or flautist? I think it's flautist.
I'm not sure.
I think, but I like flutist. Flutist is less pretentious, but I want to put on airs. It's flautist.
I'll find out.
I am a flautist.
Continue.
And yes, when it comes to farting, I've always been a practitioner. Everybody farts, says Blank. In the course of his research, he's heard such myths as girls don't fart, and when girls fart, it smells better than boys.
Ew, that's so ew.
In case you were wondering, Blank can inform you that men fart 14 to 15 times a day, while women do it a mere 8 to 9 times. I will spare you some finer points. You can thank me later. Other tooting trivia. Kids have been sent to the principal's office for it. One was arrested for breaking one deliberately and maliciously. And Walter the farting dog was banned in some school libraries, Blank said. For fart lore, Blank, that's Dr. Blank to you now that he's earned his PhD.
Wow.
Researched mentions of passing gas in children's literature and set out to explain it. He found Pennsylvania boys playing safety, a farting game, same as Blank had as a kid in Maryland, and the same game John Bork documented in the 1890s when it was called Touch Wood. Basically, a boy who farts must say safety or touch wood before his friends say another key phrase. If not, they're allowed to punch him. It's usually boys who make farting a game or a weapon. He can rattle off the stinker references in a TV cartoon South Park and the Nutty Professor movies and tell you that medieval times, people believed the soul left the body through, well, you can guess. According to the article. This man is not easily embarrassed. I've always been interested in folklore that is subversive or unacceptable, he said. Farlore brought him right down to memory lane, he said. When you tap into a genre, it makes you feel more connected to your humankind. That's one thing that drew me into folklore. He also brings folklore into the 21st century, mining the internet for bin Laden jokes and studying how culture is changing the digital age. People say the anonymity of the internet allows people to say outrageous comments, but so did the fax machine, he said. While old schoolers say folklore is all about oral tradition, Blank is part of the newer wave of folklore that recognizes that internet simulates face-to-face conversation. I study what I like and the people I like and try to do it in a conscientious way and advance the field, he said. He's written books and edited several folklore books. He's negotiating terms for his fifth. Some of Blank's work is fun, but some of it is disturbing, said Penn State Harrisburg Simon Professor Bronner. It's embarrassing, Bronner said. He talks about what we repress and the anxieties we have about our bodies and nature and our self-image. I think he's a rising star, Bronner said. I think he's someone who has taught the faculty about ways to look at contemporary scene, especially emerging technology. Blank cannot turn his brain off the folklore, he said. Even when I'm just walking down the street, I see folklore everywhere. I love this stuff so much, I want everyone else to, too. You know, the farting thing.
I'm good.
I know you are. And we know you fart, Ray.
Absolutely. I do indeed. It happens to every single person on this earth.
Yes.
I just don't really appreciate having to talk about it.
Well, you know, things must be dealt with.
Absolutely.
This is intellectually shallow. This is our perfect topic for us.
For you.
And this is the perfect topic because it's definitely something, it's not very deep or, but we go into it.
That's, ew.
So it fits.
The more you talk about it, the worse it gets.
Really?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. It's human, Renee.
It is. I'm not denying
I know
that.
You goddesses don't fart, princess.
No, I have never said that. Did I say that? No. That's the first thing I said was I know we all do it. That doesn't mean I like to talk about it.
Have you ever had a Dutch oven?
I don't know what that is.
You know what Dutch oven is?
Don't want to know what that is.
You're going to know what it is because I'm telling you.
Is that that thing under the covers?
It's when someone farts under the covers and puts
your
head over.
Yes, I have had someone do that, and I punched him in his face after he did it, and I told him if he ever did it again, it would be his balls. And 2 years later, he never did it again. Ew.
Well, you know,
Ew.
It's like a couple bonding thing.
No.
When you're comfortable enough to do the Dutch oven, you know you're a real couple.
No, that's bullshit. I'm sorry, but that's bullshit. You never should. No. I will never fart. No. No. I don't want you in the bathroom when I'm doing that. And I don't need to be anywhere near you. I know what happens. And if I smell it, I'll be cool. I'm good. It happens.
And you know, Renee.
I don't want to know. I don't want to hear you yelling.
Dealt it.
That, okay. Because that's
Everybody
mature.
Knows that one.
Because that's the mature way to handle it. Because my way is not.
You mentioned it. You're the one that did it. Trying to throw everybody off the trail.
That's awesome.
We used to always blame it on the cat.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It's gross. See, we never had animals, so that wasn't possible.
So you have to blame it on your brother?
No. You just didn't do it. You held it in. You worked it out.
Oh. Oh, one time I did that once.
Nope.
Oh, I remember I was in, we were, somehow, it was like a weekend, I was with my friends.
Ugh, why are we
And somehow
about this?
I was hanging out, with my, and it was, we, I went to this, I was going to school in Missouri. I was like in college. And somehow my friend, we're going to the so-and-so's house. Next thing you know, I'm in a car like 2.5 hours later in some farmhouse.
Ugh.
I have no idea how I got there.
Ugh.
And it was kind of fun. It was like we just drank and had a good time. It was nice. It was actually pretty cool. It was a nice, like somebody took a barn and turned it into like a cabin.
Nice. Very nice.
But on the way back, oh man, I had a weird, I drank way too many beers the night before. And I had like this major gas attack. And I would not fart.
No.
I just held it. And it was like painful.
Painful. Those
it was
things are awful.
Painful. And I was like, I just sat there and just went, just held it. For like the whole 2 hours.
Oh, no. See, no. Look, here's how this goes.
Let me finish my story.
No.
And I was like, I sat there and held it. And I was like, because there was like, it was a car with like 7 people in it. It was like, we were like one of those packed cars like when you're in college.
Ew.
So there was like no way I was farting. And there was like girls. So you don't want to fart. You know, it's
no,
like,
of
it's
course
gross.
Not.
It was just like the frat guys. I probably would have passed gas and said, ah, ha, ha, with a great joke.
Yeah.
You know, and, but I held it in. I was like, and it was painful. And luckily, I was like, I said, oh, somebody had to get out early. I'm like, don't worry. No. The guy's going to get out. No, I'll get out. And I was, so I went out and I like, oh.
Oh, my gosh.
It still wasn't enough, but it was more. It was like,
more than enough
was,
to be able
yeah,
to hold it for
almost
longer.
Home, you know? I wish my brother had that much couth
so
when I was growing up one time. He's like 18 or 19, might have been 21. I was probably like, he's 6 years younger than me, so I was like 16. And he went out drinking with his cousin, with our cousin, who's they went to high school together. And so we had this car trip like from Pennsylvania to Missouri. It was like, you know, 12 hours in the car. And guess who had to pass gas?
Of course.
And could not hold it?
Ew.
My brother.
So gross. So gross.
This is the same brother who would sleep on me for hours on
so
end.
Gross.
And then I slept on him for like 20 minutes and all he did was complain.
Ugh. Maybe someday I can be that free with my husband. I don't know. But I, ew, mm-hmm. No.
You know, I could never fart when it was like convenient. Like if I wanted to like get vengeance on someone.
Like, that's funny.
If you're messing around and someone, you know, I'm like, you know, want to know something? You can... You know, just if I wanted to like accent something, I would tell
so
someone to go
gross.
Fuck off. Just fart right there. You know, I was never that controlled.
I don't think most people are.
I thought maybe if you trained and worked, you could pull it off.
Ew.
I was like, you know, just so I could like, you know what?
Ew.
Like a real fart, not
no,
just me making millions of my with my
yes,
lips.
Yes.
That would, you know.
Ew.
There's guys that like light their fart.
Ew.
That's just
I've
wrong.
Been in a room for that too. Ew.
You actually saw someone light their own fart?
It didn't do anything. There's not nearly enough.
Everybody tries.
No, there's not nearly enough like gaseousness.
Unless you like
toxic.
Pump like propane up your
ass.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, you need some serious flammable stuff going on there, people. And yes, although they smell awful, toxic wise, there's not really much to them. It's there's not.
It just depends on the person.
Ew.
But yeah. Actually, since I stopped eating like a lot of freaking bread and stuff and wheat and shit, I don't fart nearly as much.
Makes a difference.
It's the carbs that give you gas.
Is it?
Carbs.
I don't eat a lot of carbs. I don't really like carbs. I mean, I like rice. I grew up on rice, and I grew up on like
that is a carb, by the way.
Well, yeah, I know, but I don't do bread. I don't do sandwiches. I mean, once in a while, I'll crave one. I don't do pasta. Once in a while, it's rice.
I don't eat that much pasta.
It's rice and cornmeal.
And corn's probably worse for you than a lot of things. You don't drink soy milk, do you?
No.
That stuff's shit.
No,
I don't. Let me tell you something about soy. Avoid soy at all costs.
I don't drink soy.
The only time you should eat soy is like in tofu or something because that's fermented.
Yeah. I like almond milk.
Yeah.
It's really good. I've been trying that lately. Soy milk just has a residue to it that's gross.
And it's like, it's not good for you at all.
Oh, I don't know that.
Soy is like one of the most processed foods on the planet.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. They process the living shit out of it to make it into things.
Gotcha.
And it's got like phytoestrogens.
I don't know what that is.
Which, it's like estrogen. You know what estrogen is?
Uh-huh.
I will not eat because it will give me man boobs. And my man boobs are big enough as it is. Thank you.
Man boobs.
My man boobs will grow bigger than they already are. No, thank you.
My boobs are so small. I've dropped like 4 cup sizes. It's terrible. Mm. I've lost all my weight. I'm down to 119 now, Matt.
Cool. Is that something you like? Or
that's way too far. Yep. I was only trying to go to 125.
You might have to go. You may have to hit some more fried dough stands before it's all said and done.
Well, yeah. Now I have to try and keep up with my. That's my problem. Is I'm not keeping up with my metabolism.
Ah.
I'm burning more than I'm taking in.
I've never really had that problem.
I'm sorry. I'm a dancer, or was. I've been an active person. I think that's just kind of. I like exercise, but this is too far. I can't go any further than this. This is way too skinny. Way too skinny. I'm down like a B cup. I haven't been a B cup since high school.
Mm.
It's terrible.
Well, you can get really skinny and then get implants.
Ew. Ew.
Like they do in Hollywood.
It's disgusting.
You know, I don't really care either way, tell you the real truth. It doesn't really bother me.
Gross.
Stoker. I look at it like pizza.
Ew.
You know, even bad pizza is better than no pizza.
Ew, no. See, I only eat pizza when I want it.
Fake pizza is better than no pizza?
Nope. I only want the
fake
bad.
Boobs better than no boobs, I always say.
Gross. Fake boobs are always better than nothing.
I mean, real boobs are always better.
I mean, sorry, real boobs are always better than fake boobs.
Always. But are fake boobs better than no boobs?
Yep.
Probably not.
Absolutely.
No.
If that's what you have, that works for me.
No. I'm not talking about like small boobs. I'm talking about no boobs.
I don't know. I've never had someone with no breasts.
Like, sorry. No. I'm not talking about someone with no breasts. I'm talking about no boob. No.
Oh, like no choice access. Of boobs. No access to boobs?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Small, large, doesn't matter.
No, then I'd still have no. No. Ew.
Would you go fake?
No. Ew, no.
That was your choice?
No.
And she was like someone you really liked?
Nope.
Okay.
Absolutely. Because for me, I'm looking for somebody who's completely whole. Mm-hmm. And if you feel like you need to change yourself in any way, then you don't feel whole. There's no way you convince me that you're whole and still can justify putting something in your body that isn't yours. So nope, I'd rather take no boobs than fake boobs any day. Ew. Ew. Because for me, it's about the person. I don't give a shit about the body. I've dated somebody who's 300 pounds, so it's not about the body. I've never cared about the body. I care about the person.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of body.
What body?
I don't know.
What body are we talking about?
Let's put it this way. Speaking of someone trying to get boobs, they'll do anything to get them. Therapist accused of hypnotizing patient, then having sex with her.
Terrible. Can I read this one?
You can read this one.
This is from where?
This is from blogs.sfweekly.com.
Sure. Therapist accused of hypnotizing patient, then having sex with her. Gross. A Bay Area therapist who specializes in sexual assault and rape cases allegedly had sex with his own patient while she was hypnotized. This was from May 31st, by the way. What is that, the San Fran?
Yes.
Okay, the San Francisco Weekly contacted lawyer for Angela Rosalie's. Sure. The plaintiff in the case, but they have not yet returned our phone calls. However, in a lawsuit filed in Alameda Superior Court last week, Rosalie says she was seeking psychological counseling from Matthew Lindgren, a marriage therapist at Oakland Black Bird Family Therapy on May 18, 2009. He then had sex with her while she was in a hypnotic state, according to the lawsuit. When Rosalie started therapy there, Lindgren...
You didn't read the whole part. You skipped the whole sentence.
Oh, did I?
When he allegedly hypnotized her, told her to disrobe, and then touched her breasts at her genitalia.
My apologies, I did.
You missed the best part of the whole article.
I did, ew. Because I mean, subconsciously, because that was gross, you douchebag. Ugh. When Rosalie started therapy there, Lindgren and his supervisor, Anne Mulville... Wow, great names. With ABC Family Solutions, represented Lindgren as a skilled and highly qualified family marriage therapist who could help Rosalie's. These representations were false, according to the claim. The true facts were that Matthew Lindgren was an inexperienced, incompetent, and unethical therapist. Those are in quotes. Wow, can't talk today. Rosalie's a Contra Costa County resident. It's a lot of C's. Says Lindgren abused his authority with outrageous sexual behavior. She said this fraud and sexual battery has caused her extreme emotional distress, anxiety, and humiliation. Lindgren has not returned phone calls or emails from SF Weekly. However, his website states that Lindgren is a licensed therapist who specializes in helping victims of rape, stalking, and sexual assault. I decided to become a counselor as a way of giving back to those who have helped me and as a way of creating meaning out of a loss of my own life, Lindgren says on his website bio.
Well, a couple things. You know, so this is a civil court, civil case, not a legal, it's not an arrest case.
Okay.
So really, he could not be guilty.
Absolutely. He said, she said.
But, you know, when I was a kid, I was fascinated with hypnotism. I was like, you know, 12 or 13. I was so fast. I was like, ooh, you're under my power. Ooh, getting very sleepy, Renee. Oh, very sleepy. You're getting very sleepy, Renee.
I've been sleepy since like 4 p.m.
Her eyes are getting very heavy.
Yeah, it's called liquor.
I'm not going to lick her. You don't have to lick her.
Huh?
I'm not licking her. You
have to lick her. Ew, no. I'm talking about the liquor I was drinking.
Oh, you mean wine?
Wow. Ew.
Oh, so you had liquor before you came here?
No, sorry. My day's been long because I'm exhausted because I had a very grumpy child today. Oh. Sorry.
Did your kitty have the grumpy wumpies?
Kitty? No, child.
The kitty, like kitty as in...
Kid. I got you. I got you.
K-I-D-D-Y.
Yes, K-I-D-D-Y. No, I just had a very, very grumpy.
He had the grumpy one.
A very grumpy 3.5-year-old who, oh my gosh. I love my job. I love my job. And it's days like today that make me appreciate my job so much more. Because it's days like today that remind me why I do my job and why I love it. But it is so not easy.
You had the grumpy wumpies.
Oh, it was just exhausting. Sorry, we were talking about sexual... misconduct here.
And you're referring to children, which is not always...
No, I wasn't referring to children.
I don't know,
you asked what my day was like and why I was tired, and I said because I had a rough day with a 3.5-year-old. It had nothing to do with this story.
I just thought you were tired because you were under my hypnotic spell.
No, you suck at hypnosis, so no.
You were getting very sleepy today. When I count to three, you will cluck like a chicken. 1, 2, 3. I guess that didn't work.
No. Nope, not really.
Oh, man.
Did you want to finish the misconduct? Done. Oh, I thought you had something else to say about it.
Well, I just said that, you know, this is sort of like one of those, it's definitely a civil suit, so there's really no criminal charges. It is a civil suit,
but I really want to know how she knows if she was under hypnosis that she was actually raped and how he didn't, like, work her way through, you know, some traumatic experience. How does she not know that his voice just worked her through some traumatic sexual experience and now it was so real because it was under hypnosis that she feels like it was real? Was there semen? Were her panties gone?
Well, actually,
were his fingers covered in something? How do we know that she's telling the truth? I want to know these things.
And if you read it, it's not really rape. It was told her to disrobe and touched her breasts and genitalia, so there would be no semen samples.
Rape is only considered rape if there's semen?
What I'm just saying is it's more of a molestation thing. It's not like, you know.
If he penetrated her genitalia, it's rape, even if it's with his fingers.
Yeah, well, he might have touched them. But I mean, there's no semen trail.
No, there's no semen trail, but that doesn't mean it's not rape.
I'm not saying it's not rape. I'm just saying.
If it happened this way, then yes. There's no semen trail, but there's still a possibility of rape.
It's more along the
lines. Because you don't need a penis to commit rape. Just so you guys know, if you rape her with an object, it's still rape. You don't need your penis for it to be rape.
He groped her, which is not necessarily technically
but
rape.
But it says he touched her genitalia.
Yes, but does not mean he inserted anything.
But sometimes they protect the victim. They don't say these things, so we don't know. It, like you said, it's civil court. It's he said, she said. Okay. Again, if she was really under hypnosis, bitch, how do you know?
You could have been reliving a past life.
That's what I'm saying. It could have been all, simply have been him because it's his voice and he was the person there.
Where you were a patient of Sigmund Freud and he molested you.
No, I don't think that was it. But but I don't know. I'm not saying it's not rape and I'm not saying I don't believe her and I'm not saying that there's a falter. But I want to know more. Like this article doesn't do me any, like really, you wrote this article with no facts. I want to know more. Isn't journalism supposed to be about you telling the information?
Maybe you should write a letter to this Aaron Sherbert of the blogs sfweekly.com and demand more information.
If I remember, I will.
Well, it's on your iPad. You can just look it up.
Yeah, I know, but my weeks go. I don't know necessarily to go back here. I'll try and remember.
Okay.
I leave no promises.
No promise.
None. None at all.
Speaking of maybe being hypnotized, here's an article here. Like I said, we talked about like streaking and how freedom it was.
Oh, jeez.
Here's another symptom of people taking off their clothes when they shouldn't.
Acting like freaking two-year-olds.
Iberia flight disrupted by naked passenger.
Idiot.
In Madrid, Spanish airline Iberia says a man stripped naked on a flight bound for Germany carrying 110 passengers, causing the pilot to turn back to Madrid airport for minutes after takeoff. The flight took her off around 7:45 p.m. Thursday, and not long after a man took all his clothes off, became disruptive, and then locked himself in a toilet. Iberia spokesman Santiago Dewan said Saturday, he declined to give the passenger's nationality, but said the incident caused a considerable inconvenience to a nearly full flight of passengers who reached their destination of Frankfurt late after police had to come aboard and take the man off. Dewan said the flight disruptions are mostly caused by drunken passengers, but this time alcohol had not played a part. Okay. See, I told you, this naked thing is going crazy. It's becoming the new, streaking. It's, like I said, it's not about freedom. It's about assholery.
Idiot.
And mental insanity.
Idiot. I would have just laughed him and told him his penis was really small.
Maybe. But he locked himself in the bathroom.
So did he get... Well, that's the thing as I was trying to figure out. Did he get naked before and then lock himself in the bathroom?
Well, he took all his clothes...
Because it says he stripped naked on the flight before Germany. And then it said...
No. Yeah, after takeoff.
Long after. He took clothes off, became disruptive, and then locked himself in the toilet. So he got naked before he rocked to the... And that's it. I would have been like, your penis is small. We don't want to see it. Get back in your freaking seat, you idiot. Ugh.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, this is where the freedom to be naked gets you, Renee. Naked on a plane.
Idiot. I love being naked, but in my room and with people, I'm naked. Comfortable being naked around.
Or just like at the naked beach or whatever. That's
okay. I'm actually going to go to a naked a camping ground this week. Not this week, sorry. This summer.
Are you?
Yeah. I'm real excited. A nudist camp. Is that
in Maine?
Yeah. Yep, in Rockland? Yeah.
I don't think there's a Rockland. There might be a Rockland. Sorry, Rockland. I've never heard of it. There's Rockland.
Yep, there's a nudist camp in Rockland. I'm kind of excited. I'm going to go up with a friend. Yeah, I love being naked. I have no issue. I do it as part of my living. I'm a model.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not all of what I do is nudity, but a decent amount of what I do is posing for like the art schools and things like that. So I love, I grew up with a family that was very, very open as far as nudity. Mm. And I have a pretty decent body, so I don't mind showing it off. Works for me. Makes money. Pays my bills. I like it. Nudity's good, just not on a freaking plane, you idiot.
Okay.
What are you looking at?
Oh, I think we're back at an hour. We could probably call it a show.
Oh, okay. Good, I get to go sleep. Oh, I didn't even tell you about my Sam day. Oh, my gosh.
You want to tell that? Go ahead.
No, it was just a three-year-old who's... Okay, so look, again, nanny person here. And okay, so my little guy's father was home today for part of what was going on. And we were in the kitchen, and he had come home from daycare. And he was just having... His dad walks in, he goes, look, Sam's in a grouchy mood. I don't know what his problem is. He's probably hungry. I said, okay. So we tried with food to see if that would change his mood. And he was just a grouch. I was like, what the F? Okay. So we didn't... No, food didn't help first. And then I offered food, and he said no. So I said, okay, I'm making myself some tea. Would you like some tea? No. Okay, what do you want? Nothing. Okay, fine. Okay, he's 3 and a half. He's a very well-spoken kid. And so Tom, his dad, was making lunch for himself because it was lunchtime. I got there around noon. And so Tom made his lunch, and then Tom had his leftovers from work, and he offered the hot dog that he didn't eat that he made for himself to his child.
Okay.
And Sam said, no, Dad, I don't want it. And Tom looked at me and he said, Renee, I said, I'm freaking starving. Yeah. So I got the cold hot dog and I take it, and Sam goes, I want it, because that's what kids do. And I said, would you like half of the hot dog? Absolutely. I said, okay. So I broke it in half. I put a piece next to him and I ate the other half. Tom, his dad, also had a half of a burger in the same dish. So I was going to eat both of them. I said, Sam, do you want any of this burger? Ew, no. Okay, I'm hungry, so I'm going to eat it. So then I made myself tea. I got my tea together, and Sam says, I want tea now. I'm sorry. That's not how we ask for things. When you can ask me properly, you can get some damn tea. Mind you, his dad is sitting at the kitchen table with him, eating his lunch. Mm-hmm. So Sam waits a second. He says, I'm sorry, Renee. Can I please have some tea? Absolutely, darling. Can you please get me a cup for your tea? And he gets a little sippy cup. We have a whole routine. I make tea, and it's too hot, so we count out 3 ice cubes. He goes to the freezer. It's one of those pull-out ones on the floor, so he can reach. He goes, he counts out 3 ice cubes. He brings them back to me. We put them in. I put it on the table. He watches the ice melt. Then I add his milk. We take the tea bag out. We close the cover. He gets his tea. We've done this a million times.
Okay.
He knows how it works. Dad is here. Dad is sitting at the table. So today, Sam is going to show off. Him and I have been working on a couple things. His language. He's been swearing. So Sam and I have been working on him not swearing. And we've also been working on his pleases and thank yous. He's really good at them, but when he gets frustrated, it's now, he says. I want that now. Well, he practiced all weekend, so I haven't seen him. It's Monday. He comes in and he's showing off his dad and all the new things he knows, and it's wonderful and it's great, except Dad's busy doing work during lunch. So Dad's sort of kind of paying attention to Sam, but not really paying attention to Sam, which is the problem. So this sets Sam off because he just wants to make his daddy happy. So he decides he's going to go off. I finish my food and I ask him if he wants the rest of the hot dog. And he says, no, I don't want it anymore. Fine. I said, I'm going to eat it. Fine. I said, you do realize once it's gone, I'm eating it. It's gone. Fine. I eat the hot dog. About 4 minutes later, he says, where's my hot dog? And I said, we just had this discussion. I ate it. Loses it. The kid freaking loses it. He starts kicking the chair and screaming, I want a hot dog. I'm at the counter on the other side. I turn on. I'm like, Sam, I told you I was going to eat it. If you'd like a hot dog, I can make you one. But this bit, and again, Dad's there. So he's totally, and he has a freaking meltdown for like 45 minutes. And every time I watch his dad getting more red and more red, and he's like, I don't understand. Because by now I would have picked my kid up and been like, look, little man. I'm like, no, this is why I get paid what I get paid. Because it took another 40 minutes for him to finally come down and make a decision. And then he looked at me and he goes, I need to go for a walk. And I said, yep, because I taught him that. I said, look, when you get to this point that I can't deal with you, go take a walk. Go think about what you need to do. And you come back to me dealing with it like an adult, because you're not a baby anymore. So he was so frustrated, and I was completely ignoring him, having a conversation with his dad.
Sometimes that actually makes kids, if you don't like, try to appease them.
Absolutely. You are 3 and a half, kid. I am not.
If you don't respond to them at all, it's sort of like they eventually give up.
Oh, yeah. It took him all of 4 minutes. He kicked in this chair. He sat there in the kitchen table kicking and screaming.
And it wasn't getting him anywhere.
No. And his dad, well, his dad was, and I said, Tom, and I kept having to say, stop. Because his dad really wanted to just take him up, go put him in a timeout, go punish him immediately. And mm-hmm. I said, wait. And it did. It was, you know, a good 40 minutes of this, almost 40 minutes of it. And finally at the end, he goes, I'm going for a walk. And we heard his little footsteps. He went to the front hall. He went up the front steps. He paced around upstairs above us for a little bit. I heard him stomping, you know, getting his anger out, getting his frustration out. He came back downstairs, down the stairs, and he said, I'm really sorry, Renee. And I said, what are you sorry for? And he said, I'm just sorry. I'm just sorry because big boys don't act like that. And I said, exactly. And I said, what do you want for a snack? He said, I don't want a hot dog anymore. Can I just have some fruit? Is that okay? And I said, absolutely. You want some fruit? Yep. Do you want some cinnamon and sugar in your fruit? Absolutely. And he went into the living room and he played. And his dad came to me and he goes, how? Because I totally would have. And I said, that's it. That's why I get paid what I get paid. Because he needs to learn it. It's an opportunity for him to learn to be an adult, to make a choice for himself. If you give in and you give him everything he wants, he doesn't understand how to make a choice. He doesn't understand that he is in control of his actions. But when you make him take responsibility for his actions, guess what? He shuts up and he realizes if he really wants something, he just has to follow the rules. It's really that simple. I have the patience to deal with it. And so I'm a nanny by trade. His father, not so much. But yeah, it's really exhausting because at one point I did have to, and we had two different incidences today. The second incident went really bad where I had to literally like forcibly pick him up and manhold him and bring him to his timeout in the front room. Kick, he punched me in the face. I got a little bit of a bloody lip over here. I got kicked in the groin. Probably. I got punched in the rib today. I have a little bruise on my rib. It sucks. But by the end of today, after everything happened, he came to me, and it's the longest timeout he's ever had. He had a 24-minute timeout.
That's a long time for a two-year-old.
Absolutely. It's a very, very long time for a three-and-a-half-year-old, and I made him suffer through every second of it. He had to get up once to pee, which we did. He said, Renee, I have to pee. I said, of course. We got up. We went to the bathroom. He washed his hands, and he went right back. I didn't even have to tell him. He went right back to his timeout seat, and every 5 minutes or so, he'd say, what time is it? And I'd say, you still have a lot of time left, buddy. Because I said to him in the beginning of the timeout, this is a silent timeout. You're screaming. This is obnoxious. You don't act like this. And it's obnoxious. Don't do this. Every time you scream, every time you leave your chair, and every time you come at me physically, I add a minute. It started at 5. In total, he had a 25-minute timeout.
He was being a little asshole today.
He was. He really was. He was pushing every single boundary he could. And the point for me is not to break. And I didn't. I sat there, timely, got my tea. I watched him. At a few points, he asked a couple of questions. He said to me, he goes, Renee, am I being a bad boy? And I said, no, honey. You're not being a bad boy. I said, you're not listening, which is not something you do normally. You're very good at listening. But this is the consequence. This is what happens when you don't behave. And I don't think we'll have a 25-minute timeout ever again because now he knows how it feels. He had to sit there and the timer went off and it went beep, beep. And he goes, can I get up now? And I said, no. And he goes, oh, wait, I'm really sorry. And then he did his whole apology and I said, now you can get up. What would you like to do? And that was it. And he's learned his lesson. But it's about patience, but it's exhausting to sit there and have to it's exhausting. So yes, I'm tired, Matt. That was your question. I'm exhausted because I had to deal with a 3.5-year-old today for 5.5 hours of tantrum, basically.
You just made me tired talking about that story.
See?
I'm ready to go to bed myself.
Exactly. That's it. That's my job. I get worn out by little kids. It's not so easy, y'all. Not so easy. But yeah, that was my day. Now I'm going to go home and sleep.
Okay. Show's over.
Show's over.
You can call it a show. You have enough stuff. It's 1 hour and 8 minutes.
That's pretty good.
So we have to tell people our stuff.
Yeah, please do.
You could always email us at intellectuallyshallow@gmail.com.
Yay.
Our voicemail is 207-619-3862. What's our Twitter feed, Renee?
No idea. Our shallow show? Something?
Yes, that's it. Bingo.
I know it's I Shallow Show something.
Just I Shallow Show.
Okay, I Shallow Show.
HTTP.
That's what it was.
www.twitter.com. I Shallow Show. But our Twitter handle is I Shallow Show.
Okay, so I remembered that one.
Facebook is some unpronounceable amount of characters.
But it is. If you just type in I Shallow,
it
brings up I Shallow.
You'll find it. You can always go to our blog, leave a comment on www.intellectuallyshallow.com or I Shallow Show.
Okay.
So, call it a show, everybody.
Ciao.
Bye.